5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome in to the Early Line. We're live right here on SportsGrid. Kevin Walsh on a Tuesday morning, joined by Donnie Wrightside, DRS. Tell the people how much you missed me.
The energy is high right now, and I was ready to. They asked me behind the scenes, hey, Donnie, it went so well last week. Do you just want to bump Kev to the second chair? I said, I just can't do that. The show must go on. Let the youngster have his shine here, and that's what you're going to do.
And DRS said, I can't do that. That's too much responsibility. And that's You know, obviously why I then step right back in here and make it happen. Donnie, you often say, is 2 hours enough? Let's get this out of the way. Uh-huh. Not even close. Not even close. As jam-packed of an early line as these eyes have ever seen, it all starts with Derek Carr making his decision to become the new franchise quarterback of the New Orleans Saints. A big-time deal here for Derek Carr and the Saints.
Yeah, we'll talk about what this means to the NFC South, but Kevin, I think we surmised over the past couple of weeks, whoever gets an actual legitimate starting quarterback will vault to the top of the standings, at least betting-wise, and that's certainly what happened. Carr is a very good quarterback, and right now, as it stands, the Saints are the best team in that division, and rightfully so.
And favored to win that division, but maybe not by the price that you would anticipate. We'll break that down. No doubt about it, as though it is hardly the only piece of quarterback news. Geno Smith re-signs in Seattle. These two sides working to get a deal done before the free agency period would officially open up. And it's a 3-year contract to keep Geno Smith the comeback player of the year as the Seahawks quarterback moving forward, DRS.
Yeah, it looked like a no-brainer move here for the Seahawks. But as we go through the show today, we're going to talk a lot about quarterbacks and how much money they're making, Kevin. And also at the end of the show, and listen up. Basically, the topic is, are we going to have a quarterback reckoning here with this salary structure that's coming up? Because apparently, as long as you're a starting quarterback, you're going to make $35-plus million a year. That can't hold up over time.
Yeah, some folks probably out there with a smile yesterday on their face seeing some of the deals that were getting done. As far as Geno goes, and we'll get into this more, but I was talking with someone, they go, man, nobody seems to be questioning the Seahawks bringing back Geno on an extended contract. And I'm like, yeah, you're right. Maybe we should be. So we will, certainly here today on the Early Line. And then there's this beauty, this gem. Both Tom Brady and Phillip Rivers flirting with unretiring. Phillip Rivers, listen, it is what it is. Brady, double unretirements, DRS. Ugly scene there for Tom. Let's call it what it is.
I don't even understand what Tom Brady is actually doing. He filed papers to retire. So if you retire, you're still going to unretire and be the Bucs' property. And the Bucs can stonewall you. And he just has the appearance where I'll just reappear and go wherever I want to. I don't know what reality Tom Brady lives in. And also, Tom, you stink. You stink. Just go away.
Wow. You know, it's been so long, I forgot. It has been so long, I genuinely forgot that you are of the mind that Tom Brady stinks and is maybe a bottom, you know, 12 quarterback in this league.
Is he calling teams?
Yeah. But Donnie, here's the thing. The immediate Brady link is Miami, who, by the way, doesn't have a first-round pick because of their tampering with Tom Brady. At this point, Tom, stop fake retiring to trying to end up being a Miami Dolphin and just say it outright. What are we doing here? You clearly want to be a Dolphin. I get it. It makes sense. South Beach, that's where you live. Tyreek Hill, Jalen Watt. I get it. But stop retiring. It didn't work the first time. Why is that your strategy here, pal? Radio audience in the mix on a Tuesday morning. I'm telling you, it's packed here on the early line. Kevin Walsh, Donnie Wrightside. Some running back news. Josh Jacobs gets the tag. Who's the Raiders quarterback? Nobody knows. The other thing, Derrick Henry is on the trading block. I think the Titans might be looking to tank, which then maybe means Malik Willis will get a chance to be their starting quarterback next year. Pair RB headlines on a Tuesday, Donnie.
Yeah, here's the first headline we'll look at out in Vegas. You're doing everything backwards. Like, if you say, okay, I'm going to move in right now and buy the Vegas Raiders, Derek Carr is my quarterback. I'm re-signing him at this point. And if you can do that, then you bring your running back. Why are you franchise tagging a running back when you're going to be the bottom of the barrel in that division next year? And also, let's keep in mind, it wasn't that long ago, the Hall of Fame game, where they were saying, Jacobs, we don't want you here. We actually would like if you got hurt in this game. Let's give you 10 carries in the first quarter so we don't have to see you, and hopefully somebody trades for you. Now he has a great season, and he's back on a franchise tag, one of the worst-run organizations in football by far, the Vegas Raiders.
And then, look, I'll pick up the Derrick Henry thing here. The Titans bottoming me out at this point does make sense. They are many pieces away. And Malik Willis, that clearly did not work out. But if you want to proudly tank by giving Malik Willis a chance next year, it's not the worst thing in the world. There's probably some meat on the bone in terms of what you would get back for Derrick Henry. In NBA news, no, it's not Cavs-Celtics going to overtime for the 100th time this season. No, it's not Harden's 20-assist game. Ja Morant is now being investigated by the police of Colorado because he maybe brought a gun on an airplane with this whole Instagram story. Ja Morant could get suspended for over 50 games. I mean, things are an absolute mess in Memphis.
Yeah, instead of playing in the NBA, it sounds like he's playing Grand Theft Auto at this point. Somebody get a hold of this guy. I mean, he's a superstar athlete. The team is heading down the stretch trying to get into the playoffs and win a championship, and this is what we're talking about? Come on, Ja.
College basketball style, we do have the WCC final set that we were all hoping for. St. Mary's Gonzaga Part 3. Look forward to that. It's a busy day. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back with you right here on Sports Grid. We begin with Derek Carr signing with the New Orleans Saints. This is a four-year deal, $150 million with $100 million in guarantees as the Saints needed to figure out the quarterback position. After Drew Brees retired, the Jameis Winston experience ultimately did not work out, largely due to injury, all things considered, but maybe it would have never panned out had he been able to stay fully healthy for a 17-game season. And Andy Dalton wasn't going to be the answer for this team. With a vulnerable division, they made a push for Derek Carr, and they ultimately were able to bring him in. There is an interesting part of this where we have to acknowledge that 48 hours ago, the Jets were seen as the favorites to bring in Derek Carr, and what exactly happened here. And I know I have my theories, and I'm sure Donnie does as well. But when a quarterback of Derek Carr's level signs with a team like the New Orleans Saints that has a roster like they do, it begs a very simple and obvious question, Donnie. Does Derek Carr make the Saints a contender?
A contender in the NFC South? Absolutely. A contender in the NFC? We'll see, because we look at these schedules coming into the season and the talent that you have, and you try to see how many wins and losses they'll get. Right now, am I saying I got to go to the bank and I got to take out money because I need to get down on the Saints to actually win the Super Bowl? Not necessarily, or even the NFC, but it's going to be a competent football team. When you look at the NFC South standings last year, everybody was under 500. The Bucs won that division 8-9. Everybody else finished with 7 wins. But as we said previously, if you get a competent quarterback on the Saints, it's look, a competent quarterback across the league that you get, you're going to be a contender for the playoffs. And also, if you're Derek Carr, you're saying, okay, there's a couple of options for me. If I do go to the Jets, I think it's a great spot, but you're also looking at some really good teams and coaches in that division. Derek Carr for himself has always wanted to win games. Maybe it's his fault, maybe it's not his fault, sometimes with the Raiders. But what was the best we were talking about last year, Kevin, with the Raiders? Well, boy, it's a shame they're actually in the AFC West because they might compete in another division. That's not the case anymore. So Derek Carr has got to get that fresh start going, okay, I'm with a new franchise, let's see what happens. But when he looks around going, oh my goodness, I got the best football team now in the room. I can actually win here and get to the playoffs and hang a division banner. That's what I think is the most important thing. Overall contender for a Super Bowl? No, I don't. But competitive enough to win that division and probably should? Absolutely.
So as far as the division goes, right, they are now the favorites at plus 120. But to go big picture, at the minimum, I think they have to be seen as contenders in the NFC. Derek Carr is obviously coming off of a down season. That is why things ultimately led to him being moved on from in Vegas. His completion percentage dropped 8 points. His yards per attempt saw a full yard get knocked off of it. But that doesn't stop the fact that he had a four-year streak of 4,000-plus passing yards going on before he entered into this season. I know the interceptions weren't great, but he threw 9 picks in his final 5 games in a Raider uniform. It came in bunches because this season unraveled ultimately in Vegas. But there's a bigger sample size of Derek Carr being an above-average quarterback than there is of him being a below-average quarterback. Where I don't think we should be overreacting to last season for Derek Carr. This is going to be, you could, now he's obviously the best quarterback to come into the New Orleans locker room, Donnie, since Breeze left. Is he better than a couple of the iterations that we saw Drew Brees maybe hang around one or two final years too? Probably so. And what's been the rap on Derek Carr in Vegas? Never would a good defense at his back. The Saints last year, what felt like a down season, had the 8th defense by DVOA. And a season ago had the 3rd best defense. I don't see any world this isn't the best defense that Derek Carr is going to have by his side here in New Orleans. As far as the skill position players go, this is going to be the best room in the entire NFC South. It's not much of a downgrade, if maybe even an upgrade from what he's leaving in Vegas. Yeah, I know he's got Davante Adams. Chris Olave looks like a star. Michael Thomas has star potential. Alvin Kamara, by any running back ranking heading into last season, would have been in front of Josh Jacobs. Maybe he's suspended, maybe he isn't, but at some point he should be able to put on a Saints uniform and help this team win games. Derek Carr now gets to come in and raise all tides. This is a team that was 7-10, and the quarterback room was nothing that we would be complimentary over. And last year, they were knocking on the door of the postseason and ultimately went out there and finished 9-8. And they are unquestionably upgrading their quarterback room. Are they my pick to win the NFC as we sit here on March 7th? No, that's okay. But Donnie, they are, I think right now, if you're tiering out the NFC, tier two team, and I think they have to, in that point, then be considered a contender.
Yeah, and how about this, too? The Saints are way over the cap. They just went out and signed a quarterback to, I don't know, $150 million and $100 million in guaranteed, and they're going to wind up under the cap. So again, for your NFL team that you cheer for, when your owner goes, similar to what the Tampa Bay Bucs are doing, like, oh, man, we're so far over the cap, we have to go with Kyle Trask. No, you don't. It's just a matter of how much your owner wants to spend and to write those checks, because everybody puts things on their credit card in the NFL, and it seems like the Saints are one of the teams that never has to pay their credit card, and they keep signing players. Now, granted, Michael Thomas is probably going to be a cap casualty, as well as we'll see if Alvin Kamara is suspended for a couple of games next year. But you have your quarterback in hand, supremely talented, can push the football downfield, and can throw it with the best of them. I like the move for the New Orleans Saints here because, again, sometimes, Kevin, it's just about saying, hey, even if we don't know if we're going to be a Super Bowl contender, we owe it to our fan base and ourselves. If we get ourselves a quarterback, we're probably going to win the division and get a home playoff game. You take that scenario every single time. So Derek Carr going to the New Orleans Saints makes some sense. But also, let's rewind a little bit back here. Let's look at the Vegas Raiders' perspective here of getting rid of Derek Carr. They just had a quarterback that was a sought-after free agent sign a $100 million guaranteed contract with escalators there that could make it $150 million. The Raiders got nothing back for it. Not a first-round pick, second, third, fifth, seventh, mm-hmm. conditional pick, absolutely nothing. Not even a compensatory pick that you would get if you just let the guy walk once he is a free agent. It's amazing that that's happened. And also to the people out there that felt like he was going to get, talking about Derek Carr, a Marcus Mariota one-year, $8 million type of prove-it deal. It's not what happens when you're 31 years old, an all-pro caliber that has made multiple Pro Bowls in your prime in a market where you can set it by going to multiple teams here. Derek Carr won. I think he picked a great spot for himself because he has the ability to win next year.
So, and then to that division, the Saints are plus 120. When I saw that price, I thought it was going to be stronger. I thought we could see a minus number next to the Saints' name. I think the reason, if I'm the FanDuel Sportsbook, I hold back a little bit here, is the Saints are literally the only team who's starting quarterback in the NFC South we know as of today. And while that is a massive, massive advantage for the Saints, it does mean there is room for one of these three teams to make a big move and change things massively in a positive direction. As much as we don't think the Falcons are going to be much, we know they're interested in Lamar. And if Lamar shows up to this division, well, that changes things. The Panthers, we don't maybe have a big expectation for, but if they get aggressive in the draft and all of a sudden they're selecting the first quarterback off of the board, that's going to boost their number. And who knows what Tampa Bay does? Some people think Lamar. Some people think Garoppolo. If Brady unsuccessfully retires and unretires again and ends up in a Bucs uniform, the Bucs are going to be favored in this division. That's why I don't think the Saints' number is all that strong, because all of that uncertainty, while it's an advantage for the Saints, it does mean a percentage right now of the outcomes here are actually positive, right? Even if they're a small percentage, are positive for these other three teams. We don't have enough clarity for the Saints to be priced at minus 150 to win a division yet.
Exactly. It's not as if we're going to kick off tomorrow and you say, well, hey, look how it turned out. Derek Carr is for the Saints. Kyle Trask is for Tampa Bay.
Right.
You go up the term, you go up the I-95, you hit Charlotte, you go, hey, who's your quarterback? It's Sam Darnold. And you sit there, it's Ridder for Atlanta. Then you're looking at probably locking in them at an underdog price. We're at plus 120, plus 110, now turns into a minus number. But as of right now, Saints, clear cut for me. They are the best team in the division.
Yeah, no doubt about that. This move certainly, though, has its impacts on the quarterback market, and it looks really like a move that could impact a lot for New York football this upcoming season. We break that down as we hit a quick break here on a Tuesday morning on the Early Line. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back with you here on Sports Grid. Derek Carr is in New Orleans. And this all happened pretty quickly, right? Because 48 hours ago, DRS, if I was able to keep up with the news, the Jets were favored to bring in Derek Carr. So how did things change so quickly? How do we end up here? What does this mean for the Jets? And what does this mean for the remainder of the quarterback market? Well, I think Aaron Rodgers is a Jet. I think this is done. I will be stunned if Aaron Rodgers does not end up a New York Jet within the next couple of weeks. That is how I think stuff like this happens. Because Derek Carr, all the whole way through, the reports were telling us, wanted to be a Jet, which made sense. We've thought that they were in the best position to win at a high level. Even if the division was more difficult, the pieces on both sides of the ball felt like the best for any quarterback that was out there. And I think Derek Carr saw it the exact same way. But things get known behind the scenes before they're known for the rest of us. You often reference Donnie when the Eagles traded up to number 2 overall a month before the NFL draft, looking to take a quarterback when the Rams had just traded up to number 1 overall, who were looking to take a quarterback. Because the Eagles probably were able to call the Rams and they're like, hey, what's the deal? Are you taking Wentz or Goff? They're like, ah, whatever, man. We're taking Goff. Go ahead and enjoy Wentz. And we're able to get things done. And I think this is done. I think Rodgers is a Jet. I saw Adam Schefter the other day say he thinks the two most likely options on the table for Aaron Rodgers are being a Jet or retiring. He's not retiring. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I have no idea how we could even possibly think that this guy is going to retire at this age, at this level, with these options that are on the table. No, the deal is not done yet because there's probably some things that need to be worked out between restructuring his contract and obviously compensation trade-wise. Maybe the Packers want to play a little more leverage here. And who knows, maybe the Jets are playing a little bit of leverage, because if Rodgers' options are you're going to trade me and get picks back, or I'm going to retire and you're going to get nothing, well, then all of a sudden the Jets actually aren't in that bad of a spot. That is my big takeaway from Derek Carr ending up in New Orleans, is I think Rodgers being a New York Jet is signed, sealed, and delivered.
It's a correct take by you, right? Because people do talk behind the scenes. Derek Carr, if he wanted the Jets, is not going to sign with New Orleans before the Jets actually make a final decision. The Jets are not going to let Derek Carr walk here if they're unsure of if they can actually get Aaron Rodgers. And Aaron Rodgers, how do you know he wants out? He just gave that ultimatum. If you don't trade me to the Jets where I want to go, I got plenty of money. I'll just retire. You get nothing, and you get a salary cap hit. They're not going to do that here because they've been telling you all along they like Jordan Love. They think he could be a quarterback number one for their franchise, and moving forward, they would have no issues with that at all. But I think you read it correctly here when the dominoes start to fall, because the fun part of this would have been like, oh, no, Jets, it's happening again. You didn't get Derek Carr. Aaron Rodgers comes out of the darkness and goes, I always wanted to be a Green Bay Packer. And then you try to tell people, which I already see in on the Twitter sphere here, the Jets going, well, we always wanted Jimmy Garoppolo anyway. That was our number one choice, and that's who we're going to wind up with quarterback. They don't want Jimmy Garoppolo. Tell me right now, if the Jets wind up with Jimmy Garoppolo and Joe Douglas comes out and goes, man, that's the guy we targeted all along, nobody would believe that at all. So it looks like right now, if we're putting it into percentages, it is the Jets. Because you saw Carr, he would have held out. And also, that bargaining chip for the Jets to try to play it off as, you know what, you don't want to trade us Aaron Rodgers now for two first-round picks. You're holding out for three. I'll pick up the phone right now and sign Derek Carr. He'll be our franchise guy. And then Aaron Rodgers is not going to be happy about that. So I think the dominoes are in order. But also, can I just get something clear out of Aaron Rodgers? He's still, I don't know, you know, making my decisions up here. It looks like the decisions are already being made behind the scenes that he already knows about, and also the word starting to come out. But I like all of these different organizations and also media outlets holding water for each one of these organizations until these dominoes do fall. But if you ask me today, right now, last week I probably would have still said, hey, he's going to come out of the dark, and still the best spot for him is Green Bay, which I still think it is. But if we're at this stage here, the Jets aren't letting quarterbacks walk without getting one of these superstars in the free agent market or via trade. It looks like it's going to be the Jets just the way it's playing out right now.
And look, the Jets right now sit at plus 300 to win the AFC East. And you might say, oh, that's not strong. Well, one, the Buffalo Bills are in that division. And forget my thoughts or Donnie, your thoughts on them. The Bills are always booked strong in the market. So that's not surprising. The Jets are in front of the Dolphins without a quarterback right now. Do you think the Jets are going to be booked in front of Miami with Zach Wilson? Mike White? I don't even know if they're in front of Miami with Jimmy Garoppolo. So I think that the market is preparing for them to bring in a big-time quarterback, and obviously Aaron Rodgers would fit the mold. To then get to the other New York piece of business, as despite the fact that I've not been able to enjoy hanging out with GRS in over a week, I've still had plenty of times to argue with people about the value of one Daniel Jones this past week, and yesterday was no exception. Because Derek Carr gets his contract, and then we hear, well, yeah, I mean, come on, you're telling me Daniel Jones isn't worth that exact same thing? Yes, that's what I'm telling you. Yes, that's exactly what I'm telling you. It's exactly what I've been telling you, and it's exactly what I will continue to tell you. I get it. Derek Carr's coming off of a down season, and Daniel Jones is coming off of a career year. I don't know how we continue, though, to allow Daniel Jones' career year, which, by the way, objectively, subpar, stop overrating this season, is enough to get him a franchise quarterback deal. And we sit here, Donnie, on deadline day for the tag and what's going to happen, and we'll get back to this as far as things go here for what they're ultimately going to have to do with Daniel Jones. But as that Derek Carr contract comes in, the Giants are going to end up, because I know you and I have seen this often the same way, They're going to get slandered by this show. If they end up paying Daniel Jones the same exact contract as Derek Carr, that's a bad job. That's a bad job. And they didn't even take a meeting with Derek Carr. That's a bad job. Daniel Jones is taking the Giants down to the wire. They keep reporting that the Giants don't even know what they're going to do with Saquon Barkley, because if they have to tag Jones, then Barkley's going to end up walking. Jones is doing the Giants zero favors, and that's fine. It's a business, and this is his big opportunity to get paid. The Giants, not at any point, Donnie, thought to return the favor and bring Derek Carr in for a meeting, let Derek Carr get wowed by Brian Daniel and say, hold on a minute, I'm going to go play for Dennis Allen, a defensive coach here, when I could go and play for the New York Giants and Brian Daboll. The Giants, as I see that Derek Carr contract come in, they've done a bad job here.
I don't know if I have confidence in the Giants front office, or I don't know if I should be looking at the Giants front office as they know what they're doing, right? It's almost like a flip of a coin right now, because sometimes when I hear like, hey, we're really happy and we're proceeding towards a contract, and I say, well, if it's anywhere near $40 million, what are you actually doing? But it looks like now if we're going to extend this closer to the deadline today at 4 o'clock, maybe they know what they're doing. Because it's similar to the housing market, Kevin. The housing people, the people that are going to come in and buy your house, they're going to set the market. So you throw your house on the market on a Saturday, you get 10 offers in. Let's just say you put it up for $1 million, Kevin. Just use that as a flat number. Offers come in at $775,000, $850,000, $900,000. Oh, we might have overpriced the market here. So if you're the Giants, why aren't you just doing that? Going, you know what? Daniel Jones, I'm not going to franchise tag you. I'm not going to transition tag you. I'm going to let you set the market here. Go out and find a deal comparable. You know you like to be, you want to be in New York. Daniel Jones, we want you to be in New York, but we want a fair price that everybody's happy with all the way around. It's not an arbitration hearing. We're going to go in front of a judge, and I'm going to tell you, you got 15 touchdown passes. You could barely throw the 7-yard out. You're not worth that money. No, because if the market tells you that he is worth $30 million, $35 million, $40 million, or $45 million, that's what you'll settle on. But from a Giants perspective here, Kevin, let's just say they don't franchise tag him and say, go out in the open market and come back and find us. And he goes, first of all, let's put this one aside, who he's going to sign with. That doesn't even matter. But if I told you next year, like your starting quarterback is going to be Jimmy Garoppolo or Baker Mayfield at a fair price of, let's just say, $15 or $20 million a year. Now, granted, maybe Baker Mayfield's on that lower option. Let's just use Jimmy Garoppolo, who some GMs think he's worth something and worth his weight in gold. Let's just say Garoppolo's number is $20 million a year over 4 years, right? If the Giants did that instead of signing Daniel Jones, to me, I'd go, that's a pretty shrewd decision, man. I like where this front office is. I'm not going to overpay for a quarterback that throws 15 touchdowns when you can get that same production from Jimmy Garoppolo at a lower level, sign Saquon Barkley, and an additional wide receiver, right? Like, that's what I look at here. So from a Giants perspective, I want to see what they do today, because if they slap the franchise tag on, which is the worst case scenario, which means you right. can't even massage the salary cap. Daniel Jones is probably better off getting $45 million a year and you spread it out over 6 years here. And the cap hit is way, way less. If they franchise tag Daniel Jones, that's an epic failure for the New York Giants.
So that part I'll disagree with, because Daniel Jones was obviously better last year than any of his prior seasons. If they in the room believe, hey, we did not give him enough help in the skill position players, if we give him enough help, we think he can actually then reach an elite level, then the franchise tag is a 1-year prove it deal. That's exactly what that is. So to lock him in on a franchise quarterback deal, despite the fact that he has offered up 0 seasons of franchise quarterback play, is baffling. It's totally baffling. And I understand your point, Donnie. It maybe doesn't give them as much flexibility. But here's the sneaky thing, and this is tough for Giants fans, and I don't say that as slander. I mean it. Saquon has been a huge part of your organization and a very easy guy to cheer for. But if you tag him and lose Saquon, that's okay. Because the Giants are not in a position to be paying a running back $12, $13 million. They're not. They should be getting what's going to inevitably happen, one of the third-round running backs in this upcoming draft class that are going to finish as one of the 6 best running backs in football, because that's how running backs work. We're not done with the Daniel Jones stuff, but we go now to Tom Brady and Philip Rivers.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here on SportsGrid. Massive day of quarterback news. Some unsurprising. We knew Derek Carr was going to land somewhere. We knew it was going to have some fallout for some quarterbacks like Daniel Jones, like Aaron Rodgers. Some headlines, though, maybe shame on me, but I didn't see coming. And that's these next two, with both Tom Brady and Philip Rivers considering a return to the NFL. To begin with Tom Brady, DRS, I, if memory serves, believe that Tom Brady announced his retirement while you were live on the early line with our good pal, Joe Ranieri. By the way, shout out, did an excellent job filling in this past week. And I believe Joe said, yeah, I don't believe this. Let me know when he's back next season. Well, shout out Joe Ranieri, because there's obviously at least still now some doubt as to whether or not Tom Brady is going to remain unretired. Here is the biggest reason why I think this is more than just some silly rumor. It's the fact, and this kind of comes from Rich Eisen talking about things he heard at the Combine, it's the fact that the Miami Dolphins are mentioned. Clearly, definitively, we know Tom Brady is interested in being a Miami Dolphin. Because we trust these reporters, and we should. They have a good enough track record. Your Schefters, your Rapoports, Groffalo's, and everybody in between. But this isn't a rumor that Brady is interested in Miami. The Dolphins literally don't have a first-round pick this year because of tampering involving Tom Brady. That's the truth of it, right, Donnie? So we know there is some juice to this idea. I have but no choice to believe. I don't know if it ultimately ends this way, but I have no choice but to believe it's legit that Tom Brady has his eye towards coming back to the NFL.
Yeah, and by the way, getting back to those tampering charges here for Tom Brady, I believe it was one of those scenarios where it was like, hey, by the way, I'm going to run a big yacht. I'm the owner of the Dolphins, and I'm going to bring my head coach, Brian Flores, here. He's like, hey, man, what are we doing? Going out fishing here? Oh, wait, why is Tom Brady walking toward the... Yeah, I'm out of here at this point because I know where this is going. I'm not playing a part of this. That's why you lose first-round draft picks, but also from Tom Brady. Should we have seen this coming here? Which is hilarious to me. He puts in last year the request to retire. A couple months later, he comes back. Okay, we get it. Now he's crying on a beach on a sand dune, and you know, this is it. You know, I can't give you a long soliloquy here just because I did this last year and it's not fair, but it's official. I am going away, and we spend days talking about how great Tom Brady is. But didn't you find it interesting, Kevin? He's got a job that's going to pay him close to $40 million a year. As soon as he snaps his finger, he goes into a booth, is the color commentator, 17 weeks a season, works basically 2 days a week, and then is the entire offseason off. And he goes, hey, you know what? Spoke to Fox today. You know what's going to be awesome? Me not actually having a job next year so I can just hang out around my kids and do stuff. Say, boy, that's not very Tom Brady-like here. I thought we had all of this wrapped up. And also, Tom is going to be retired, not doing any games as a color commentator, but re-ups his podcast as if we're going to care what Tom Brady even has to say, that he's not playing football or even a color commentator at that point here. It just feels like everything is lining up. And also, what is with the Miami Dolphins here? Why do we want Tom Brady? Oh, you're going to tell us that, well, Tua should take off a full year and then we'll reevaluate. But in the meantime, we are going to get Tom Brady here. I don't even know what Tom Brady adds to your organization at this point. Is he an upgrade over Tua Tagovailoa? No, he's not. Is he an upgrade over like a Kyle Trask, if that was the backup option that you had for the Dolphins? Maybe so. But I don't know what's going on. We always talk about mental health and wellness here in this day and age, and rightfully so. I don't know what Tom Brady's going through, but it's apparent that each and every day he changes his mind. He filed paperwork, which is the finality of your retirement. He's going to go change that paperwork somehow. And if he does, the Bucs are like, hey, no, it's cool, man. It's cool, man. Off you go. No problem at all. No. Did the Saints do that with Sean Payton? Hey, love you, man. Take a year off and return back anywhere you want to go. No, they wanted draft compensation. I don't know what Brady's doing. I don't know who would actually want Brady at this time, what his salary is going to be. And also, the Bucs, you just go, you're not going anywhere. Sit over here on this bench and enjoy.
Well, the other thing, so there is clearly some crisis or uncertainty that he goes through when he's trying to figure this stuff out. And I don't say that, again, to be some slander or hot take thing. I'm not even trying to be funny. Like, Tom Brady, very publicly, this whole thing's been a whirlwind for him over the past year. He retired after a loss in the playoffs to the LA Rams. He unretired, and some people seem to genuinely think it's because he was upset that Adam Schefter scooped him on his retirement. He gets in a very public divorce, which, by the way, the precursor to that was him taking this random two-week absence that they were like, ah, we've known he was going to be off for months, and shout out to Donnie for being like, that doesn't make any sense, which you ended up obviously being correct about because it involved the falling apart of his marriage, which understandably would rock anybody's world as he'd been with Giselle for a very, very long time. And then he retires again, and he does it in what was a bit of a sad video, just alone on the beach, tear in the eye. And now it's like, I probably would like to be a Miami Dolphin. And again, does he keep retiring, thinking that he can then unretire and be a free agent? Has anybody explained the rules to Tom Brady of how this works? Oh, and by the way, the Dolphins keep saying they're sticking with Tua. They're not, like, he's not unretiring and going to Vegas, who we all thought he was going to, who desperately needs him. He's not unretiring and going to the Jets, where he would make perfect sense. He's unretiring and going to the Miami Dolphins, who have a quarterback, according to the Miami Dolphins. And if they're going to move on from Tua, which maybe there's some juice to for a couple of different reasons, are they doing it for 45-year-old Tom Brady, who at best has, what, 2 years of football remaining? The whole thing is so wild, and yet as wild as it is, it does feel real, DRS. It does feel like he genuinely has an eye towards coming back to the National Football League.
It's amazing. And again, the reason why I thought he retired was, the joke for me was, he's probably making a call like, oh, I got like five options. And every time he called somebody like, hey, Tom, love you. We'd be happy to have you in our owner's booth for a game or two. And you could say hello to the crowd, but as playing football, you can't play anymore. You have to remind yourself of this as well. This is not Tom Brady of 2017, 2016, 2015. It's going to be Tom Brady of 2023. He couldn't move last year, Kevin. It's going to be even worse this year. Worse. He can't move. He can't play. Why would the Dolphins want him? And is he down at this point where he would take a job with the Texans just to play quarterback and keep moving here in his NFL career? I don't understand. He's the best football player to ever lace him up. Basically going out on his own terms at this point. And he's going to go into a job once he gets the Fox that's close to $40 million a year. I don't know why he wants to keep playing football, because I would love him to go to Vegas and wind up in last place with five wins. I would love him to go to the Miami Dolphins next year and be like, hey, man, we won eight games with Tom Brady quarterback. He can't play anymore. He can't play anymore. It's that simple.
Look, again, I think Brady has more juice in the tank than you do. At the end of the day, 25 touchdowns to nine interceptions. I would rank him higher than you on a quarterback list going into next season, is what it comes down to. But am I going to pick the Raiders to win that division next year? No. If he goes to Miami, am I going to pick the Dolphins to win that division? No. But also, and again, this is such a crazy thing to say because it's so personal, but if Tom Brady ended his marriage so he could keep playing football, and then did that to only play one more year of football, that is all a bit surprising, right? And I know you don't need to necessarily double down and try and justify it, but I still think he can play in this league. And if there are teams interested in him, retiring does seem a bit wild. To then get to Philip Rivers here quickly, the Philip Rivers report is twofold. As, again, this is from Rich Eisen, that apparently last year he contacted both the Niners and the Dolphins to step in as they had their massive quarterback injuries heading into, of course, that playoff run. And now he's interested in potentially coming back this year. But that second part of it, I don't think you can even address if you don't get to the first part of it. You mean to tell me that the San Francisco 49ers had the chance to bring a Philip Rivers and said, no, we've got a seventh-round pick that we're all good with here. And you mean to tell me that the Miami Dolphins saw Tua go out and said, no, we're going to let Skylar Thompson run things here ultimately. That's what seems to make the most sense for us. Forget what I think of Philip Rivers, DRS. We had two organizations last year tell Philip Rivers, kick rocks, you're washed. How am I supposed to believe that anybody then is going to be interested in Phillip Rivers being their starting quarterback this coming season when two teams that had the playoffs right in front of them went Brock Purdy and Skylar Thompson over Phillip Rivers?
Yeah, and good for those teams that said absolutely not, because Deebo Samuel and also Tyreek Hill would have probably walked off the football field and they go, hold on now. I just ran a fade route, and this guy threw the football 3 yards and barely even made it 5 yards at that point here. So when you hear that, again, we always like to hear these, hey, Phillip Rivers is going to come back. I can't even believe the Dolphins passed that up. Or maybe the San Francisco 49ers would have won a Super Bowl. It's not Phillip Rivers of 2011. It's 2022 last year, now heading into 2023. He can't throw the football. I can throw the football. I'm sitting here right now. There's a 45-year-old. I can go toe-to-toe with Phillip Rivers throwing the football right now. That's how shot his arm is. So I don't know where they relive these glory days. And also from a Phillip Rivers perspective, dude's got like 10 kids at home. Maybe he's just home for one season. Like, man, I got to get back into the football field at this point here just to get away from all this madness here. He can't help anybody at this point. And last year, if there were two teams with perfect situations for him to go to and they told him, no, come on, the writing's on the wall, Phil, retire, relax, it's okay.
So you just said something, by the way, that I've had to catch myself on of, oh, you know, maybe he couldn't stay at home for one season. He's been out of the league for 2 years. For 2 years. This isn't a guy that he didn't just retire. We haven't seen him play since 2020. It's 2023. What are we talking about here with Phillip Rivers? Why would we have any expectation that this is going to go well? Look, again, the last year in Indianapolis, he threw for 4,100 yards, 24 touchdowns, 11 interceptions, completed 68% of his passes. Quite frankly, those are good numbers. But what is even the scenario that Rivers is looking for, right? We look through this quarterback market, right, and we try and figure out what guys want. You know, Rodgers beats me, but it appears that he's being pushed out of Green Bay, so it's not his decision. Well, Lamar wants, you know, as big of a contract as imaginable. Derek Carr wants to be able to compete at a high level. Tom Brady wants to just live in Miami. What in the world does Phillip Rivers want? What teams is it that Phillip Rivers is hoping gives him a phone call? That's what I don't even understand. The Phillip Rivers situation that makes sense played out perfectly last year, right? Where a team that is going to the playoffs unfortunately loses their franchise quarterback deep into the season, and instead of going to a second or third string guy, they turn to somebody that's had high-level success before in Phillip Rivers. And he got turned down twice. And again, obviously the Niners clearly made the right decision. Brock Purdy was fantastic for them. Skylar Thompson was not good at all. And they were on the third quarterback. I mean, they could have clearly brought in a Phillip Rivers. If those teams all said, no, I'm good, like, you've joked a lot about Odell Beckham Jr. needs to go out there and just run a couple routes so we can make sure that his legs still work. Like, tell Phillip Rivers to call Cam Newton's production team and show me that he can still throw a football. I have zero idea what Phillip Rivers could still even bring to the table, Donnie. And again, what team would he even make sense for?
Yeah, the 49ers actually would have made sense, even if they brought him in as a backup just to try to mentor Brock Purdy. And if they needed him for a couple snaps, he could come in. And they still told him no at that point. That should tell you something.
Yeah, it certainly does. We do hit a break, though, coming up here on the early line. We hit a little bit of NBA news before getting back to the NFL to lead hour two.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, let's close out hour number one, as we've got plenty of basketball to preview inside hour number two, both college and NBA. There is certainly an NBA headline that I wanted to hit here in this opening hour, which is, of course, the John Morant situation, who is now going to be investigated by the Colorado police. For anybody that perhaps has not been following the situation, John Morant, after a loss to the Nuggets, went live on his own Instagram story and apparently flashed a gun. I say apparently, the video was clear, but I guess you don't know unless you're there in physical and presence and being able to have confirmed 100% things. But boy, is it that exactly what it looked like here. And this situation started with a 2-game suspension from the Memphis Grizzlies. Then Ja put out a statement taking responsibility and saying, I'm going to take some time away. Well, now the police are investigating, and some people, through looking over the CBA and things of the nature in the NBA, noted that this could very well be a 50-game suspension for Ja Morant. And we could certainly, Donnie, get into how ridiculous this was from Ja Morant. The fact that Ja Morant posting that video, the fact that it wasn't surprising is probably the most concerning part of the entire thing because of all the other stories that had recently been coming out around Ja Morant. But here is, I think, the very obvious and definitive take. If Ja Morant is done playing basketball this season, the Memphis Grizzlies are done being contenders for anything this season. They're a round one exit without Ja Morant.
Yeah, probably so too. But as we know, superstar athletes, doesn't matter what genre you're in, what sport that you play, they do get preferential treatment. Just a person off the street, a video comes out about that, they're going to go after you in public and also the police department. But a 50-game suspension for Ja, no way. He's probably going to leave, another week or two. This thing will get cleared up. We'll be back, and that's going to be the way it is. Just hopefully Ja Morant comes back in a clear space and says, you know what, let me get my mind right here. I got a long career ready to go here for the Memphis Grizzlies and just treat it with respect. And I hope he does that.
Again, we'll preview their game tonight with the Los Angeles Lakers in Hour 2. We start off Hour 2, though, with Geno Smith.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Hello, America. It's your new favorite podcast here.
Yes, it's James and Andy, two-fourths of the British podcast No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do facts. We do weird facts, fun facts, facts you've never heard before. James, give us a fact.
Did you know you may be able to cure chronically blocked noses with a snot transplant?
Lovely, lovely facts.
If you want to hear us, go to wherever you get your podcasts and search for No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We'll see you there.